Hey, it's CK. Welcome. Thank you for joining me for episode 40. How are we here already, by the way? Maybe we'll address the fact it's episode 40 later on. For now, can I play a clip for you that I've wanted to play for you forever, but I've never had an appropriate time? I'm going to do that. This is a clip from a BBC radio interview I was invited on last year. And it's a guy called Ronnie Robinson. And every week he invites someone that's done something interesting onto the show. And he fires a series of questions at them with a view to getting to the root of who that person is, what inspires them, what motivates them, what makes them tick. One of the questions he asked me generated an interesting response, to say the very least. Have a listen to this.
Are you easygoing or high maintenance?
Oh, it would always be the easygoing option.
But you're not, are you?
What do you mean?
Well, you've had difficult times in recent times. I've watched your film. It's not exactly a laugh.
Do you not think?
No. Okay. I think it's about a very lonely man who wants a bit of love. And I do you not think that's the case?
I've never disagreed with a single human being so much as right now. So, clearly, that guy does not and did not give two fucks. And part of me admires that, respects it, and ultimately gives him massive kudos. But there's another part of me that feels we need to explore that, dissect it, and discuss it. And also, this week, I have received a direct message from a regular listener, and according to what she sent me, and I quote, "I'm a little bit disappointed that you said that, CK." So something I said way back, I think it was episode 6. Something I said way back in episode 6, this listener has just discovered it and she was a little bit disappointed. So we're going to share that with you. And it's a really interesting one. I can't wait to explore what you think, whether you think her disappointment was justified or whether you think, oh, what a load of bollocks. So we'll look at that in a bit also. How are you? How's your week been? Welcome to the show. It's episode 40, as I mentioned at the top of the show, which I'm stunned by. And can I be honest with you? I don't want to dwell on this because this is actually an aside that I wasn't planning on talking about. But the fact I've just gone down this cul-de-sac of episode 40, like, I would say this week has been the biggest week when I've thought I might call it a day here. Not because I'm not enjoying it, because I, for the most part, I love doing this, and it's been, like I said, like, this is free therapy, unburdening myself of shit onto you every week. But due to some, I guess, life stroke family based issues this week, it's like, do I really want to continue turning up to do the podcast when there's all this shit in the background? And I was like, I actually started genuinely, and I'm telling you this just in case in 3 weeks I decide, yes, I am going to. Genuinely, I started thinking, okay, how can I, if I'm going to end it, episode 40 might be the right time, because in the intro, you know, I'm trying to be as open, candid and transparent with you guys as possible. And you know that from the get-go, this entire podcast has been a exercise in discipline for me, because discipline is a trait which I feel I am, I feel I am lacking in discipline in many areas of my life. And I thought, well, if I'm going to commit to doing this podcast, which I like, there's a very high chance that I'll pick it up and after 7 weeks I'll be bored and I'll put it back down again. And I decided, well, if I'm going to do it, I'm at the very least, if I set myself a target of a year's worth of shows turning up every week for 52 weeks, at the very least, I will have worked my discipline muscle. So this very much is an exercise in discipline for me. So when I had this whole family stuff in the background, I was thinking, I might just, for episode 40, just say, look, guys, I got to disappear for a while. Then I was having this inner conflict thinking, you know what? If you feel you've got to do that, then do that. Don't worry too much about letting people down, because I know what it's like when your favourite podcaster decides to piss off. And I'm not saying I'm your favourite podcaster, but I know a lot of you turning every week and I'm super grateful. And I know that that wouldn't have been the highlight of your week if I said, right, I'm off. But I was also thinking, well, I accept that, but I have to address the other stuff. And so the question is, why have I decided that I won't be calling it an episode 40? Well, honest answer, I don't know. I guess maybe I slept on my thoughts and I thought, oh, all right, just do episode 40, just get it out of the way. I don't necessarily know why I'm telling you this. but I didn't even plan on talking about this. This isn't on my list of things to talk about today, but you know how my mind works and shit just plops in, uninvited, takes a seat and eats my fucking food. When people come round to your house and just start eating your shit, uninvited. It's like, what are you doing? That is this part of this podcast. Like, I didn't want to talk about episode 40, but it just knocked on my head. Excuse me, mate. Do you want to talk about the fact you almost dropped this podcast like the discipline lacking weasel that you are? Are you going to talk about that or what? Well, you're here now. You're literally like, you've got your feet up. You're watching my Netflix subscription, so I guess I'm going to have to talk about it. This is the state of my inner conflict, guys. Anyway, listen. Like I said, I don't know why I've mentioned the fact that I was going to almost end it this week, but hey, I have. So let's just move along and hope that I do maintain the next 3 weeks and 12 episodes. But most critically of all, thank you for hanging out with me for the last 40 weeks. And I'm very proud of me, and it's been a joy. It's been a joy sharing these episodes and thoughts and musings with you. Now, here's the thing. The time right now, it's Thursday, the 22nd of October. It's 25 minutes past 11 in the evening. This show will be coming out Friday morning, like it comes out every single Friday morning. And I'm horrified with the fact that I'm recording it at this time. That isn't unusual, as you know. I always record them at this time, but I try to record them earlier so that I'm not feeling the pressure of getting something out. And I had all the best intentions today. I was ready to go at around 7 o'clock, and I was proud. Look at you kicking off at 7 o'clock. Well done, champ. Then a phone call from my bestie. He's not feeling great. And I was just going to say I needed to talk to him. That sounds like I did it begrudgingly. Fucking hell, why do you always have to come to me with your problems? No, that's not how it was. He's having a bit of a struggle at the moment, and I wanted to just talk him down, if you like. And so that, once again, I was just going to say that ate into 1 hour of my For context, the reason I keep catching myself on the cusp of saying something horrifically void of empathy is because the friend in question, our relationship is entirely predicated on banter. So even when I'm talking about him rather than to him, I'm just oozing banter. So anyway, making him feel better about himself ate into an hour of my life, which I'll never get back. Scum. So that took me to like 8. Then I posted something on Instagram. For some reason, I felt motivated to just post an Instagram story and asking people if they wanted to ask me any questions. Because you know what I've been really mindful of recently? I've been mindful of just posting stuff about my projects or my podcast. And it's like, I've been very mindful that my conversation is very one-sided on social. And I didn't at all like seeing that in myself. Like, listen to this, new episode out, documentary out, short film out, whatever. Like, it's just a one-way conversation, and I wanted to have a more, I guess, two-sided conversation. Like, is there anything you want to ask me? I don't know. I mean, to be fair, even that question seems deeply self-serving. Is there anything you want to ask me? No, not really. Fuck off. You know what I mean? I can't lie. Whenever people ask that on Instagram, got any questions for me? I always think, oh, the fuck, no, not really. Piss off. But seemingly people seem to enjoy that. So I thought, you know what? Just ask the question and see what happens. I am stunned how many people had questions. Stunned. It just goes to show my first instinct is seldom the correct instinct. So I'm going to go through some of the questions I was asked on Instagram now, because you might find them interesting. Let me go through. I think there were two questions that really got me thinking. I was like, I wasn't hoping for this. I was hoping you're going to ask me, like, when I say any questions in future, that's your opportunity to say Burger King or McDonald's, Snickers or Twix, tit or ass. Like, don't ask me deep questions. I wasn't at all ready for this. So let me just show you some of the questions that I was asked. Jesus Christ. So one person asked me for the number on my bank card, including expiry date, which was credit. I enjoyed that one, to be honest with you. So this was the first deep question. I was like, oh, for fuck's sake, I've got a podcast to record. So this is basically why I'm late. Like, you've been asking me questions that are of a depth I wasn't hoping for, anticipating, or necessarily grateful for, to be honest. So this question, what's your biggest, most specific dream in life, CK? And I was like, holy shit, how do I answer this honestly without sounding like a complete schmuck? And I realized that I couldn't not sound like a schmuck, so I just answered it in the way that was true. This is what I replied. Again, question, what's your biggest, most specific dream in life, CK? To which I replied, such a challenging question, because having one dream has always felt so final to me and dismissive of all other passions I have. This is a blessing and a curse. Blessing, because I'm very good at and enjoy doing a lot of things. Curse, because it undermines my ability to specialise. To answer your question, my one dream would be to live a life where I'm doing more things that I enjoy than not. Glorious question, albeit not the specific you wanted. And that was a really difficult question, because I've been thinking of that a lot recently, and interestingly, just dawned on me, that is the cause of my mate's anxiety and discontent at the moment, in so much as he feels he doesn't know what his purpose is. He feels like his current profession isn't the one that is filling his heart. He's not getting up every morning excited to do his work, and he feels, for want of a better word, lost. And I can't say I don't necessarily share a degree of... I relate to a degree, is basically what I'm saying. And I'm going to talk about my personality type later on in this episode in quite some depth. But I'm becoming increasingly aware that my love for creativity and creating and making and producing art in whatever form that might take might sometimes even make me somewhat uncertain of the specific direction that I want to take. So that is the way that I answered that question anyway, and it really got me thinking. I was like, holy shit, I was in like high spirits, now you're sending me this requiring me to delve into the darkest, most depressing recesses of my own I was like, oh god. Right, anyway, thank you for that question. It was a glorious one, albeit badly timed. So this was the second question. What have you learned about yourself during this current situation, i.e. pandemic? My reply, that I'm worryingly okay in my own company. I've always considered this a strength, but I've recently seen the limitations this brings in terms of friendships, relationships, etc. I'm starting to wonder if I'm too okay going vast amounts of time hanging out with myself. Can someone become too isolated, reclusive? Massive question for me at the moment. Now, guys, I can't reiterate enough. The only reason that I asked if anybody had a question for me is because I've been feeling too self-serving, too up my own arse, and I thought, let's have a two-way conversation. I wasn't expecting this kind of therapy, and in the interest of full disclosure, it got me questioning character traits that I would rather not. You know what I mean? These are the kind of questions that I look at, questions of that nature, very much as door-to-door sellers. I open the door, I see them, and I want to punch them in the face. So that said, sometimes door-to-door sellers actually have merit and they're selling a product which sometimes could save you money, to be honest. And these questions are forcing me to reflect on character traits that might not be desirable. And again, we're going to delve into my character traits that I'm acutely aware aren't desirable later on. But for now, as I said, I've always considered my ability to go vast swathes of time on my own as a strength. But more recently, I'm not convinced. I don't think it's entirely bad, but I am beginning to see some of the shortcomings that it brings. And we will explore those later on. But for now, I just wanted to share with you why I'm late and why it's all entirely and exclusively your fault. No more questions for me, please. That's my quota for the year. Right. Okay. God, it's such a big episode ahead of me this week. I've like, this has been one of them weeks when I've been like excited because I've got so much to talk to you about. But now I'm here at 11:30 at night thinking, Jesus Christ. All right, let's do this. I'm going to do CK's Crummy Book right about, hang on a minute. Yes, let's do CK's Crummy Book.
CK's Crummy Book. It's like a journal, but shitter.
So CK's Crummy Book is my little book of wisdoms. I've had this book forever and it's falling apart, hence the name. And in any given week, if I hear something that inspires me, motivates me, or I think is just a great way to live based on something that I've heard, seen, observed, I'll write it in the book and I will carry it with me throughout life as a resource to inspire me. And this week's insertion comes from a singer-songwriter in the States, country artist. I've stumbled across her podcast in the last 4 weeks, I reckon, and I'm a big fan. I enjoy it enormously. And she said something in today's episode, actually. Oh, no, she released this episode yesterday. And she said something about self-awareness that brought me distilled joy. So she's called Kaylee Shaw. She's 25, I think, and this is what Kaylee had to say about self-awareness.
So self-awareness really only works if you use it to change your behaviors. And
super short and snappy and to the point, but I wholeheartedly agree because I've always considered myself above average in terms of EQ, emotional intelligence and self-awareness. I know the two things aren't necessarily the same, but I think they're distant relatives. And it's so true. So true. Being aware of your flaws and your shortcomings and your failings is one thing. Doing something about it is an entirely different discipline altogether. And I would argue that I am well equipped in the former and need to do some work on the latter. Let's put it that way. And hearing her say that was like, yeah, 100% true. But the good news is I think I've been okay this week at recognizing my failings and adjusting accordingly. So what actually happened, bizarrely enough, is in her episode last week, she started talking about something called Enneagrams. I don't know if you've ever heard of Enneagrams. Until she started banging about Enneagrams, I was like, what the fuck is an Enneagram? Then she started talking about it's a personality test, and I instantly switched off. I was like, oh, for fuck's sake. Okay, I'm going to be honest with you and tell you what my immediate instincts and thoughts were when she started talking about personality tests. I was like, look, I don't want you or anybody else telling me what little neat, tidy box I fit into. I don't fit into any box. Eat shit. That was my immediate response. And because I've become aware in recent years that my immediate response is one of judgment and one that often is quick to dismiss, the minute I started having that inner dialogue, I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. Hang on a minute, dickhead. A second ago, you didn't even know what an Enneagram was. So how, genuine question, dick, how are you able to dismiss? Is it because it might tell you something about itself you don't like? Are you scared? Is this your ego? The answer to all of those questions was yes. And I was able to process that entire dialogue within like 2 seconds. Why are you saying no about something you don't even know anything about? So what I'm saying is, like, if I'd have heard someone talking about Enneagrams as recently as, like, I would say 9 months ago, I'd have dismissed it, switched off and moved on. But because I'm now aware of my capacity and tendency to dismiss, I'm working on it. And because, to be fair, the more I've been questioning my tendency to dismiss and actually letting things in to me more, I've been stumbling across some nuggets. So I thought, you know what? Enneagrams might be another nugget. Just hear the girl out. All right. So that was, I was proud of me, is what I'm saying. So I listened to it. Now, let me tell you what an Enneagram is, according to Google. An Enneagram is a model of the human psyche, which is principally understood and taught as a typology of 9 interconnected personality types. So there are 9 personality types, according to the Enneagram. And Kaylee was basically talking about how she discovered Enneagrams in the last, she discovered them very recently, and she's just become so infused and has become a huge student in figuring out how it works from her point of view, which one of the personality type she is, which one of the personality types her closest friends are, her boyfriend, her family members, and how those personality types can sometimes complement each other, but conversely might not. And she was just talking about how once you understand your personality type, it can certainly make you understand why you behave in certain ways. And it just enables you to maybe adjust if you want to, but not if you don't. So I was thinking, oh, all right. So then she gave me a website. She gave all the listeners a website to go and do a test. I think it's a 38-question multiple choice test. It took me about 3 minutes to do, and it gives you your personality type. And I did the test, and this is where it gets a little bit depressing. And if you've never heard of Enneagrams, you're either going to be switched off, bored, or intrigued by what I'm going to say next. So the way it works, you'll do the test, multiple choice, 38 questions. At the end of it, it will give you a grid. All nine types are laid out in front of you. So it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And underneath each number, it gives you another number, which equates to how much you are that number. So if you're very much personality type 7, underneath number 7 will be a number like 8 or 9. And underneath all the other numbers, you'll be like lower numbers like 2s and 3s or whatever. Now, the trouble is, when I did this test, my results were the most undefinitive I have seen. Crushingly undefinitive. Like, there's 4s and 5s in so many boxes, and there's the occasional box with a 1 in, which I dismissed instantly. But there's four boxes out of 9 with number 5 in it. And then there's 2 with number 4 in it. No, 3 with number 4 in it. And all the rest have 1s in it. So, like, I'm looking at all these thinking, well, I'm just screwed up. Like, am I schizophrenic? Because this is very undefinitive. I just assumed everybody was like that. But then I sent it to my mates, and my two best mates did it. And they were very, very clinical in their results. Like, they one of my mates is clearly personality type number 3, and it's definitive. He's like got a number 7 in that box, and all the others are low numbers. And my other mate actually got negative numbers in the ones he's not, and a massive number 9 in the one that he is. I hope I'm making sense here. This is where I suspect he might have switched off. But I was concerned because it didn't give me definitive personality type that I am. So then what I had to do was go and read all the personality types to figure out which one is most aligned to me. Long story short, when I got to personality type number 5, my jaw didn't hit the floor. My jaw actually left my skull and dropped on the floor, while the rest of me was still just looking very gormless. I've never read a description of me so accurate, so on point, so crushingly true that I was like, oh shit, I've got some self-work to do. Because the way that this personality type works is that it will tell you the traits of each type and the positive traits of that type, the parts of that personality type that makes you very attractive, in inverted commas, or likable to other people, and the side of you which can sometimes be a little bit off-putting and can be detrimental to your own progress in life. So I was reading all of these, and I saw me in all of it, and it's personality type 5. And I'm just going to read for you a distilled version of personality type 5. Now, this is incredibly distilled, guys, all right? And personality type 5 is known as the investigator, and they are intense, cerebral, perceptive, innovative, secretive, and isolated. I'm going to pay special attention to those last two, secretive and isolated, all right? And bearing in mind what I said earlier on Instagram about my enjoyment of my own space. So I'm going to read for you the abridged version of personality types number 5, and I'm going to give you the website address of which where you can go and do the test yourself. So this is what it says. Personality types 5, the investigator, more than any other type, want to find out why things are the way they are. They want to understand how the world works. They are always searching, asking questions, and delving into things in depth. Now, in terms of, I don't know if you've ever watched me being interviewed, but I have this bizarre tendency to interview the interviewer. One of my best mates once observed, and he said, "Seek, I can tell that before you started making your content, you started getting featured in the media and you were actually like a hired presenter. Like, I can, it's weird how now you have been interviewed by people and you can't undo that muscle. Like, you just automatically start interviewing people who are interviewing you, and it's weird." And he's right, it is fucking weird. And I don't know if you recently watched my interview on Instagram by a podcasting company, but I was very aware during that interview, why are you asking the interview so many questions? That's not the way this works. So that was a huge there was a huge correlation between that observation about personality type fives and me. Anyway, so it continues. Personality types number five do not accept received opinions and doctrines, feeling a strong need to test the truth of most assumptions for themselves. Now, again, I'm going to take a pause. You remember last week, episode 39, when I was saying that I feel super on the fringe and somewhat of an outsider from a society point of view, because I never like what everybody else likes. I'm never into what everybody else is into. And I even used the example of that film, A Quiet Place, which I tweeted about not liking. And someone tweeted me back calling me a heresy, which I had to Google what heresy means. And basically heresy, someone who repels accepted customs and behaviours. So that happened last week. Like, I have documented proof that I recognize my character trait doesn't like what everybody else likes. And according to this personality test, personality type number five do not accept received opinions and doctrines. So at this point, I was getting a little bit worried. And I was thinking, oh, so maybe you're not as unique as you think you are, mate, because there's millions of personality types number five like you, knobhead. Get out your own arse. Anyway, so the descriptions continue. Knowledge, understanding, and insights are highly valued by personality types number fives because their identity is built around having ideas and being someone who has something unusual and insightful to say. For this reason, fives are not interested in exploring what is already familiar and well established. Rather, their attention is drawn to the unusual, the overlooked, and the secret. For better or worse, the areas that fives explore do not depend on social validation. Indeed, if others agree with their ideas too readily, fives tend to fear that their ideas might be too conventional. However, they become lost in their Byzantine complexities of their own thoughts, processes, becoming merely eccentric and socially isolated. Listen, guys, if you've been listening to this podcast long enough, you will know that I spend the majority of my life in my own head, in my own thoughts, in my own imagination, right? I'm in no rush to agree with the general consensus. Quite the opposite. I have no interest or desire to be part of the general consensus. So again, I'm reading all this, I'm thinking, holy fuck. Troubling. So it continues. The intense focus of fives can lead to remarkable discoveries and innovations. But when the personality is more fixated, it can also create self-defeating problems. This is because their focus of attention unwittingly serves to distract them from their most pressing practical problems. 100% agree with that. Like, sometimes life just passes me by because I'm so focused on an exciting new idea or just drowning in my own thoughts. While they are engrossed in their imagination, they are not interacting with others or even increasing many other practical and social skills. So true. So that's the end of that section of the description. And by this time I was like, oh my God, this is bizarre. But I'll tell you what I find even more bizarre is that although I find me in everything that is typically a personality trait number five, I was surprised that my results after the test were not more definitive, because five wasn't the highest number. Five was the second highest number, joined by another three that were also the same amount as five. It was just bizarre. I don't know. Really odd. So this finishes with some of the drawbacks of being character traits number five. So let me share with you some of the drawbacks of being character trait number five. Fives become reclusive and isolated from reality, eccentric and nihilistic, highly unstable and fearful of aggressions. They reject and repulse others and all social attachments. Sometimes get obsessed, yet frightened by their threatening ideas, becoming horrified, delirious, and prey to gross distortions and phobias. I mean, that's a little bit odd. And it gets a little bit dark towards the end of this. It starts talking about suicidal thoughts, which is a bit bizarre. But this is if you have deeply entrenched and excessive leanings towards the limiting sides of... Because basically the way it works is every single personality type, you are on a scale of that personality type. So it's not like you are number five and that's it. You can be like a highly functioning number five, or it can be a number five that leans more towards the negative sides and the more negative traits of that personality trait, if that makes any sense. So basically what it said is that if you are number five and you're one that leans more towards the negative and the limiting personality traits of fives, then you might become suicidal and deranged and self-destructive and schizophrenic. And these are the actual words that it uses. I'm not making these up. It's deranged, explosively self-destructive, schizophrenic, and potentially psychotic break. So I don't really want to dwell on that because that's super dark. And that's just, I don't know. It is what it is. But I'm going to tell you where this website is soon. But my point is this. This was just, in all my years on this planet, I've never seen a description of me so accurate and a description of you if you are also number five. I'd be fascinated if there's anyone listening to anything I've just read. Do you relate to anything I've just read? Do you see yourself in that box, if you like? Do you see any attributes of yourself in that description? If not, I assure you, you will see elements of yourself in one of the other eight personality types, because there's nine, guys. So you need to go and find yourself, but maybe do the test first. So in terms of finding the test, there's a free test that you can do on a website called 9types.com. That's number 9types.com. There's a free test on there. And I strongly recommend doing the free test. And then if you go to the actual official website, which is considered the gold standard in terms of the description types, and that's where I was just reading the description from, I would recommend going somewhere else for that, because 9types is like a knockoff, but their test is good. So go to the official place for the description of each type, and that is EnneagramInstitute.com. EnneagramInstitute.com. Enneagram is spelled EnneagramInstitute.com, and then all the types are there for you to see. So do the test on 9types, get your number, then go onto there to find out what that means. It was just such an eye-opening experience, and honestly, if anything else, I remember thinking to myself, wow, imagine if you didn't question yourself and you actually dismissed what Kaylee was talking about and you didn't explore this. Because I feel so much more equipped with this information. I feel that my tendency to just drift off into my own little world and dwell in, literally by a house in my own imagination, that is my tendency, and it's often at the expense of my, it's not the expense of my friendships. Like, no one's ever said, "Seek, I'm sick of you, screw you." Like, but interestingly, my mate Johnny last week said, "Dude, like, you do know that I put all the effort into this relationship. Like, you never call me." That might sound like a weird thing for a dude to say to another dude, but for him to have said that gave me great pause. And, you know, I'm now thinking, wow, this Enneagram makes reference to the fact that it undermines your relationships. And there's my mate telling me a week before that I'm not putting any effort in. And I know that I've said to you many times that I go days, weeks, sometimes without calling a single human, and that's perfectly normal for me and perfectly okay for me. So I don't really know what I'm trying to say here, but I guess what I'm trying to say is I'd be fascinated for you to do the test and send me a direct message on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. I mean, in fact, let me know if you've ever heard of Enneagrams, first of all. And if you haven't and you do the test, let me know if the number that it suggested you are marries up with the long form description on the Enneagram Institute. I would be genuinely fascinated, because I told my two mates to do the test, knowing which number I suspected they both might be. And both of them came back after doing the test saying they are that exact number unanimously. significantly more unanimous than my results were, because mine weren't unanimous, to be fair, but theirs were unflinching. And it told them that they were the numbers that I knew they would be after reading all personality, all nine personality. It is just truly frightening, is what I'm saying. And this is not, I'm not naturally into this kind of shit, but the fact I'm not normally into it is why I wanted to do it, because I'm wanting to question my tendency to be dismissive. I feel like I'm going around in massive circles now. I apologize. I feel like that was very heavy going. But what I want to play for you now, which is going to be the way I'm going to conclude this little talk on Enneagrams, I'm going to play for you the rest of the BBC interview when... I'm just going to play a clip. And if you listen to what I said, and this interview was recorded on BBC Radio Sheffield, I think it was over a year ago. In fact, I know for a fact it was over a year ago. It was in the run-up to my short film, 61 Hugs, being screened at Sheffield Doc Festival, which is the UK's largest documentary festival. And I was honoured and privileged and flattered to be invited to screen my short film there. And in the run-up to that, BBC Radio Sheffield invited me on to talk about the film and about me. And Rory asked me a question, and listen to my answer to his question with everything I've just read about personality type number five in mind. Have a listen to this.
Listen, you describe yourself, CK, as being tirelessly chasing difference. Can you unscramble that?
I wish I knew why, and I was thinking about this when I was invited to answer these questions by producer Alice, and it was just the first thing that came to me in any walk of life, whether it's the PR or digital media I create for clients or my own personal projects. I always start with the same question: how can I execute this in a way that people haven't seen before? And it's just in my DNA to craft content that is different to what we are used to.
Do you come into this studio with the same intention to craft it differently, to do something people haven't heard before on this interview?
Why not? So, yes. So, I mean, so, yeah, I don't know. I don't necessarily know why that is in my DNA, but I have always leaned. Is it leaned or lent? Someone can text in. I've always lent more towards difference than the status quo. So, to say I was stunned is a massive understatement when I remembered that interview. So I can't stress enough. That interview was over a year ago. Over a year ago. Yet here I am today learning that my personality type number five, and I quote, "Fives are not interested in exploring what is already familiar and well established. Rather, their attention is drawn to the unusual, the overlooked, the secret." I mean, I don't really think I need to say any more other than this test is fucking scary. Well, the test isn't scary, I guess, but the detail within which it explains each character type is stunning, and I've never been this impressed before. But I'm open to you doing the test and coming back at me and saying I was told I'm personality type number three, and it's a bag of shit. I'm not three at all. Equally, I'd be fascinated to hear if you've done the test and it was exactly you. According to Joe on Twitter, she was told she's number two, and she's 100% a number two. And number two are the carers. It's a caring type, number two, I think. So do the test and let me know how the findings stack up to reality. And in fact, while we're here playing this clip, this lost clip that I wanted to share with you forever, I'm going to actually play the full, I think it's like a 90-second clip, which I played a little bit from at the top of the show. He's firing a load of questions at me, and then he just basically calls me a lonely, pathetic old man. It made me laugh. I wasn't expecting it. It wrong-footed me a little bit, but it made me laugh. So here's the full clip.
CK, how are you?
I was wonderful till you started dispensing licorice.
Good.
And it just...
That's from a little earlier on today. It's already damaging me a little bit. Will you have a go at the random questions that catch people out?
I'd delight in that.
Good. CK Golding, what's the thing that scares you most?
Licorice.
Have you got any fillings?
Nope.
Are you more likely to text or to talk?
Text.
Who's your favourite actor?
It changes. Let's just go for Tom Cruise, classic.
Do you sing in the shower?
100%.
Are you easygoing or high maintenance?
Easygoing.
Something you're looking forward to this weekend?
Throwing that licorice in the bin. I don't know if I can.
Good man. Last time you cried?
I genuinely don't remember.
Favourite chocolate bar?
Snickers.
Tell me something that you've done in the dark.
Slept.
You see, but yeah, right, you're a bit discreet, aren't you? And a bit careful, really, in your answers. A bit smart about it, but you're not going to give much away, are you?
Everything that came out was the first thing that came to my mind.
Yeah, what would have come to the second mind if I'd asked you the question, are you easygoing or high maintenance?
Oh, it would always be the easygoing option.
But you're not, are you?
What do you mean?
Well, you've had difficult times in recent times. I've watched your film. It's not exactly a laugh.
Do you not think?
No. Okay. I think it's about a very lonely man who wants a bit of love. And do you not think that's the case?
I've never disagreed with a single human being so much as right now. Now, I don't know if that guy's always so contrary and antagonistic. It was fine, mind me. Like, I'm a big boy. Honestly, I genuinely laughed. Well, you could hear the fact I laughed when he said, I'm a lonely old man. It's like, I had never heard that perception of my short film 61 Hugs before. For someone to watch it and think, that's a lonely man who's looking for love. I've no one in the 2 years since I released that film has said, you just come across as a sad, lonely man. So I'm not dismissing that perception. It's just a new one to me. And if you're new to this podcast and you're new to me, hi, I'm CK. I make short films and documentaries and things. And if you visit 61hugs.com, you can watch my short double award-winning film for free. It's 23 minutes of your time and you might enjoy it. A lot of people did. And seemingly a lot of people didn't. And they just thought I was a pathetic loser. What a guy. I'm glad I finally got the opportunity to play that interview for you, because it makes me smile and I enjoy it enormously. And it's refreshing to have an antagonistic radio presenter, to be brutally honest with you. Keeps me on my feet. So I enjoyed that and I hope you likewise. So listen, I'm going to conclude today's episode with a direct message that I received this morning, interestingly enough, from a regular listener who, and I quote, is disappointed in me for something I said in episode 6. So let me read that direct message and I want you to help me out. And I don't want you to agree with me. I want you to just tell me whether you think her disappointment has merit and if you think my response was valid. So this is a regular listener and she says, morning CK, I'm quite behind on your podcast, but listened to 2 episodes while out running this morning. Always very thought-provoking. One of them was the one when you talk about being judgmental and you asked us to grade ourselves. I am a 7 on the judgmental scale. So guys, if you're wondering which episode I was talking about judgments and how judgmental you are, I asked you to grade yourself and that is episode 5. So go back to episode 5 and have a listen to that. We talk about judgmental and again, that's why I was mindful when Kaylee Shaw, podcaster, started talking about Enneagrams and I was like, what's this bag of shit? I knew that I give myself an 8 on the judgment scale, so I don't want to do that anymore. So that's why I was open and more receptive and hey, presto, I discovered a great thing and I learned so much about myself through not being judgmental. Anyway, this direct message continues. The other podcast I listen to is the one where you discuss the influence toys have on gender and sexuality. I've always thought that it's on the spectrum. To oversimplify it, some people are so inherently gay, they always will be, and some people are so inherently straight, they always will be, and some people have the capacity to be interested in anyone and are to some degree influenced by external factors. And by the way, the episode she's referring to there is episode 6, which was called Can Toys Make a Kid Gay? based on something one of my friends said. And then this is where she offers me some, in her words, constructive feedback. So she says, CK, please take this constructively, but I think the only misstep so far, and this stuck out, so I'm letting you know in the comment that you would like to watch a oh, hang on a minute. Sorry, let me start this again. Okay, CK, I hope you take this constructively, but I think the only misstep you made is the comment that you would like to watch a lesbian couple. It's a very 90s laddish comment. I know a lot of men still think that, which raises further questions of would I rather they said it or would I rather they kept it to themselves? But it made me slightly disappointed that you said it. Have a good day, CK. Keep up the good work. So, sorry, I know I've butchered what she said, but basically in one of the episodes, I can't remember which episode it was. I think it was, oh yes, I know I've written it down. It was episode, hang on a minute. No, I can't remember which episode it was. It doesn't matter. It might have even been episode 6 that I was just talking about, actually. I wonder if it was. Yeah, it was the one when I was talking about can kids be gay? So I reckon that must be episode 6. It doesn't matter. Basically, what she said, I apparently, and I because I'm so vague, I've not gone back and listened to the episode, so I've got no idea. But according to this listener, I made a comment saying I would like to watch a lesbian couple. I would like to watch a lesbian couple doing lesbian things, apparently, is what I said. And I don't dispute that because that's very much the kind of thing that I probably would have said at some point off the cuff. And that would probably be in episode 6. So if you want to go back and do the research on my behalf, feel free. But anyway, so she was disappointed that I said openly I would like to watch a lesbian couple. So I was reading this and I was thinking, in an ideal world, I don't want anyone to be disappointed in me. So instantly I was like, oh, that's a shame. But then I actually thought a little bit further. And I thought, has her comment got merit? Is there anything wrong with me saying I would rather enjoy and celebrate and rejoice in watching a lesbian couple? So I thought about it. I pondered on it. I chewed on it. I mused over it. I deliberated over it. Then I told her to... No, I didn't. I told her to fuck off. I didn't do that at all. Let me read my reply and you can decide. So, I replied, your disappointment regarding my comment, watching two women doing stuff is one of those talking points that is, as you rightly observe, somewhat cliche. That said, setting the cliche element aside, is saying it in bad taste or insipid? I'm not convinced. Admittedly, whenever I hear someone say that kind of thing, my immediate response is, ugh. But my immediate response to many things is, ugh. Hence, me giving myself a judgment score of 8. Increasingly, I'm getting more adept at reflecting on my immediate response to situations and questioning its merit. With that in mind, let's reflect on my lesbian comment. Humans are sexual beings. So, assuming a heterosexual man, i.e. me, likes women, their form, their structure, their intelligence, their nurturing instincts, their emotional intelligence, their breasts, etc., it makes logical sense that I'll rejoice at the prospect of two of them in close proximity. I have a very black and white approach to life, and frankly, if I find woman one attractive and find woman two attractive, my enjoyment of their fusion is pure maths. This exact maths permeates my life. I'd rather have two pies than one, two new pairs of trainers than one, and two Snickers than one. I'm a man. I favour simplicity. As a woman, you know that better than most men, frankly. This is all very long-winded, but ultimately, my point is that I appreciate your disappointment, and I would probably share it if I heard someone else say what I said. But, and it's a big but, I believe there is a climate of reflex disappointment nowadays. Sometimes valid, sometimes not. I make no call on the merit of your disappointment, because your disappointment is yours to have. Love your feedback. Thank you. Kiss. Gotta give the love to the listeners. If they can be even arsed to tell me they're disappointed after listening to two episodes, they at least deserve some of my love, right? So my question is twofold, friends. One is me saying two women doing it is a pleasing concept. Is me saying that grounds for disappointment? And my retort stroke explanation stroke thinly veiled I'm right. It's not even that. Is there any merit to that? I'm genuinely fascinated because I'll tell you what, guys. Genuinely, I wholeheartedly agree with a lot of what she said. And when I hear people say, two women, when I hear dudes say that, I am like, turn your head in, dickhead. I get it. And I can't disagree with her guttural response to being, oh God, because mine always is. But I guess what I'm saying is that, and this has been the theme of this entire episode, and I referenced it back in the day. Remember the episode when I was talking about metacognition, which is basically being mindful of your own thoughts and questioning them? Because mostly we don't. We just have a thought and then we abide by it. And we very rarely take the time to actually stop and think about it. So this was episode 13. Please feel free to go back to episode 13, which is when I was discussing metacognition in acute detail. And I've been talking about it all this episode, which is why I was more receptive to the idea of Enneagrams, despite the fact I was at first like, oh, fuck that. So I'm becoming somewhat of an expert in questioning my immediate response to anything. So although if I heard a man saying, two women, way, although I would think, what a plank. Why would he be a plank? Because all he's saying is, I'm straight, I like women, so I'll have two women, please. You know, that's basically all I was saying. And that is what I was saying in my reply to her as well. But I'm open to you saying that I was being far too reductive in my reply. And me saying that enjoying a lesbian couple is equivalent of enjoying two sugary snacks. Is there any merit to that argument? I think there's a shitload of merit to that argument. But I'm open to you telling me, no, far too simplistic. You've just reduced it to the most common, most ridiculous denominator imaginable. I don't think I have, but if someone tells me that they think I have and they give me a valid reason why, I am 100% open to having that conversation. Because in honesty, for me to like it, for me to liken a lesbian couple to confectionery seems odd at best. In bad taste at worst, but it also seems highly pragmatic to me. So let me know. Send me a message on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. DM me. Let me know if you think her disappointment had foundation or whether you think, no, not having that. Not having that. You're a dude, you have a penis. So unfortunately, you're thick. I love the fact that she just, do you have any idea how much I love the fact that she sent me that message and articulated her disappointment? Because bearing in mind, this person has sent me like messages on four separate occasions, three or four separate occasions, telling me how much she enjoys the podcast. So for her to suddenly break ranks and say, oi, dickhead, I love that. Absolutely love it. Don't have to necessarily agree, but I love the fact that she told me. So it's over to you. This is your homework for this week. It's me saying, as a man, two women doing stuff is, let's just say, somewhat Christmassy. Is that fair? I've asked you that question about five times now. I don't know why I'm saying it. I'll tell you why I'm saying it, because it's now 12:30 and I'm still talking to you. How is that even possible? Jesus Christ. Next door must love me. That's your homework for the week then. So who did she have merit, and did I have merit, and the confectionery thing as well? And also do the test, do the Enneagram test. Let me know how you get on. And did you relate to anything in the description of personality type 5. I would love to hear from other personality type 5s. If you are a personality type 5 after you've done the test, or even based on my description, I want to hear from you, genuinely. I want to chat. I don't know that many more people that spend all their life in their head, and it'd be nice. So if you're a 5 or you know any other 5s, let me know. But if you're not a 5, I still want to know what you are and if you relate. And I genuinely feel that I have run out of things to say. So I'm just going to go, and I may or may not think about two women.